can tell you something happened during the war at Clun. We had a regiment of a horse regiment that came over from Aviemore and stayed in the Clun Wood. And one time I don't remember what regiment it was, but do you remember coming home from school back and seeing them all arrive?
Yes.
I mean, they still had horses at that time. And then in the other wood one time there was Indians with horses, mules and horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from Aviemore as well. And it's quite interesting because I was at a pheasant shoot over there just beyond Aviemore, a place called Kinrara. They have one particular drive, pheasant drive, and they call it Indian Camp. And none of these young lads know why it's called that. Mm-hmm. But I do, that's where this Indian camp. Soldiers had been, mm-hmm. had their camp.
So they were in Indian cavalry there?
Yes, it was, and pack horses. Mm-hmm. And they had mules as well, if I mind right, they had mules. And another thing that did happen, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Betty, but we had Norwegian commandos arrived at Clun during the war, and I think this was prior to the raid, you know, when they went back to Norway. They were somewhere in the Cairngorm area, and they had to get to Clun was their objective. It was all very secret, and because I remember that night before they came, the British Army had guards everywhere on the bridge going to Clun and everything. But in the morning when we got up, they were there. They had taken over the outbuildings at Clun. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, I don't remember. I remember the horses and the...
Well, I can remember the Norwegians. And my father
had
some venison at the time hung in the larder, and he told them to help themselves to that, and they were cutting steaks off this old sod. And anyway, to get there, the river was in flood, and they'd crossed the river somewhere to get, I think they were dropped by parachute somewhere and crossed the river. So they were all there in the morning anyway.
So they
and they had a whip round, Betty, before they left for us kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We weren't really affected that much by the war.
No, not at all. Except our imagination used to get carried away a bit. Our teacher always had us worked up. She's a big placard showing us what the different bombs that could be found, and we found a bomb in the school playground one Tuesday because we came running into her and said there's a bomb in the playground. I can remember it. Yeah, it was a round like a ball about that size. Yeah, it's like a ball and sort of coloured. And she said, she wasn't too sure what it was, but said, I'll get Mr. Calder, who was the bus driver that came up on a Tuesday, because he's a special constable, he'll know what to do. And I can remember him coming off the bus and walking into the playground and having a look at it and then touching it. And then he picked it up. And we think it was, had come off a gravestone or something. It was that sort of thing, you know.
It was coloured.
And somebody, you know, there was a field next door to the school and there was cows and somebody maybe threw a cow or something like that. I don't know, but it was there. But that was, a lot of it was imagination. And then we used to get worked up if there was a plane flying about, we used to dive into the ditch because that's what the teacher told us what to do.
Right at school, covered in mud.
Yes. There had been a dogfight I remember a couple of planes over the viaduct somewhere there, you know, and there was a bit of shooting going on sometime or other.
The viaduct was quite a strategic point, I suppose.
Yes.
The Home Guard used to do that.
Yes.
The Home Guard, but Guard of the Railway.
Yeah. My father was very much into the Home Guard. He was exempt from the army because, you know, he'd lost his wife and he had three children to look after.
Mm.
And so he didn't go to the army, but he was in the Home Guard, which he took really seriously. He was given a, which was his prized possession really at the time, a Browning automatic rifle. You know how they had very little firearms to start with, and he got this Browning automatic, which I have the booklet, the instruction booklet belonging it in my cupboard through there. That was his prized possession. But he took it really seriously, the Home Guard. And like Sheila's father, they were like, he was like Captain Mannering, and Sheila's father was more like Godfrey, because he would have done anything just to... That's the way they were, though. Exactly.
Where did they drill? Did they come to the village?
They came to the village, yes, but mostly they were guarding the viaduct. That was the, you know, because you had all them troop trains going up and stuff going to Invergordon, the fleet were up there, and it was a very busy, important railway at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they always were frightened that it would be sabotaged or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Funny stories about E2, more lightheartedly. And if you were an old soldier, you generally were made a sergeant or something, mm-hmm. you know, from the First World War or whatever. And there was this old boy from Moy called Jock Ross, who was their sergeant, and they were learning somewhere down there to throw the hand grenade, which is a pretty scary thing, you know, because even the instructors are always frightened that the guy they're training will drop it, you know, after the pin's out. So anyway, some of them were huddled down while they were all taking their turn to throw the hand grenade, and there's always one guy, isn't there, a wag. He was, the tin hats on, and every time this grenade would go off, he would throw some wee pebbles down, and Jock Ross was getting flattered all the time, every time. And he would say, "By God, that was close." But that was his story, and that would have been true, you know. Didn't know the war didn't. Yeah, apart from the hardships, and we weren't as hard up as, because we lived off the land a bit. Our summer holiday was always at my grandmother's down in West Perthshire, a little village called Comley. And there was a prisoner of war camp there, and a train would come into Comley station, a special train full of prisoners, and we would go down the street because it was quite a thing to see them getting marched up to the camp, and they were just dressed like the time of North Africa campaign was going, you know, when the tide had turned in our favour and they took a lot of prisoners.
So they'd be mostly German?
Yes, Germans, mm-hmm. and they used to be singing as they were marching. And
Germans.
In later years, when we used to get Germans come destocking, especially before the Soviet Union fell apart, you know, because they all go east now, but we used to get a lot of Germans come destocking, and they used to, when we'd be having a drink in the evening, they would be singing, and they were singing the same songs as we heard them singing, you know,
really?
Hunting songs.
Traditional hunting.
You know, do you remember that?
I remember that.
Because
yes.
The songs that we heard.
You'd be hearing it again.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't mention the war, though.
No.
Occasionally, when we'd escape from the camp, there used to be a big panic, you know.
Yes, I do remember two escaped one time, but they weren't long before they were captured.
Mm-hmm.
But that camp is still there yet. Mm. It was an army camp after that. I used it for a training camp.
Mm.
But since that, I don't know what, I must go back to Comrie, but it went up for sale and it was all just missing hats. Mm-hmm. And the village, the community bought it, but I don't know what they were intending to do with it. But they had a separate camp where they had some of the real Nazis in, and
oh, really?
More, yes, they had.
The officers maybe were separate.
Not sure, but they used to say that's where the bodies were anyway, in this particular one, you know.